going to jump right in. I usually plan some of the sermon series. Others just kind of come to the fore as I see there's lots of life on it and lots of talk about it. And so we're going to continue in part two. It's only probably going to be two parts. But living on the other side of fear, in other words, having dealt with fear, having stepped on fear, having freedom from fear, and living on the other side of that. We said we did the hypothesis last week of imagine your life without fear. Imagine how you would live, who you would be, and how free you would be, and what you would actually pursue as you dream if you weren't held back by fear or the fear of what other people or culture will think of or what it all will cost. Is that something that has come up in anybody's mind? And so even in being in ministry, you'll often have to fight that fear of what will it cost, not only in financial terms, but also in capacity. And so we want to be ultimately a people that arise, shine. We can't do that with a bunch of fear. We can't get stuck in bondage of fear at all. So this week, there was lots of talk. Like, we went from Men's Monday, Women's Group, Small Group, and in lots of coffee dates that I had, this topic just very easily came to the fore. So I want to ask, in the conversations you had with yourself, yes, be honest, the conversations you had with the Word and with Christ, and the conversations you maybe had in Small Group, what did you learn about fear this week? And yourself, anybody? You have to be aggressive with fear. I love that, honey. That's beautiful. You have to be aggressive with fear. I'm not fear. Constantly. Be aggressive with fear. What did you learn about fear this week? Anybody? Yes. 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 You have to replace it with faith. You can't just leave an empty gap there. Chase around fear, but leave an empty gap. We know Scripture says love, perfect love, casts out fear. It's a beautiful replacement. So fear and faith need to replace whatever bondage, whatever stronghold fear had. Anybody else? Did you deal with fear this week? And what did the Lord say? Stephen. Don't listen to the voice of fear. And that's a good point. We listened to Scripture last week, which said it is a spirit. Fear is not just an emotion and feeling. I can't rehash all of that. But it's spiritual. So it's demonic at first, and it whispers, and then you need to decide, am I going to agree with this and make it my own? Eventually build a big, fat stronghold of it in my life, and then I can't move, and nobody can move around me because I'm just so fearful. Heather, did you want to, is there something you learned about fear this week? Amen. You're more than... Amen. 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 Great. Anybody else? By the way, we don't highlight and give airtime to fear and demonic forces. But we take time out in a safe space where we honestly say, hey, all of us actually have in some way, shape, or form or size, have struggled with this. And some of it's very obvious. You can see it in somebody's life. And some of it, as the psalmist says, Lord, convict me, help me with my hidden sins, the unintentional sins. Some of them might be so deeply engraved in our thinking that we don't even realize it until the light comes. Anybody else? Lots of thoughts. What did you learn, Albert, this week about fear? Yeah? Yes. Amen. We did a whole long series of 8 sermons on that last year, and that's absolutely it. Because that fear, the fear of God, the awe, the onsach, the reverence of God, and this fear we're talking about is totally two different things. We said the fear we are talking about is an unhealthy one, but that is 100% correct. We need a healthy fear of God, because that's the beginning of wisdom. That is His, it is clean, it is pure, and that is His treasure. Any last thought on what you learned? Did anybody realize that they have more fear in their life than they thought they had? Like it. That's good. Because then as we walk in the light, as we bring it to the light, then the Lord can displace that with love. I've recently had a great breakthrough in that area, and ever since I also have been tested on it again. And so it's a continual work in progress, but something that we can, in safe space, can be honest about, because fear is a petrol of the culture we live in. It's something that people go on, and it's so normal. I want to tell you, fear is not normal. Anxiety is not normal. To live on stress is not normal. And it's not a way of living. And in fact, I'm reminded of my own sermon series of walking at the pace of love this last while. And I think I've struggled on that ever since we got back from mission. And so we need to allow love to work His work in us. This is a founding or foundational scripture for today as we look at leg two of this sermon series. It says in Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, and I love this just as a kickoff. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in You. So we're like, Lord, yes, we do get afraid. We're human. We're frail. We really do not make it without You, but we put our trust in You. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. And so we take this shift off whatever we're fearing, whatever the focus is, whatever the waves are, whatever the storm is, and we say, Lord, I trust You. It's like a good dad. It's like a kid just shifting focus. Not about whatever is hindering them, whatever is coming from them. He's just saying, Dad, help. I put my focus on You. And so when we talk about these things, and even if it's sometimes tough, the relational fears I've learned is a massive thing in our culture. It's been a massive thing in my life. I testified about it this morning in Belleville. Such a beautiful, that's a story for another day, but just the beautiful thing that the Lord has done in my life. And I realize relationally we've been under attack, all of us. And the Lord wants to free us from that fear. Derek Prince, men of light words, says the following, because we want to ultimately not look at fear, we want to just keep our eyes on Jesus. He says the following, Jesus was never worried or perplexed. Imagine Monday, hello Monday, I'll just never be worried. Just imagine Sunday for me, just imagine the things that we face. Hello, just Jesus was never worried or perplexed. He was calmly and completely in control of every situation. And not in a fear-mongering control, no, He was just in control of His inner world, and hence the outer world didn't throw Him. Whereas sometimes our outer world just wreak havoc on our inside world. Anybody like that? Well, two of us, great. But anyway, as for the rest of you guys, the Lord needs to help me and Yuri. Calmly and completely in control of every situation, He never doubted that His Father's goodness, and you see where the focus is, His Father's goodness would provide everything He needed. And the Father never failed Him. And honestly, looking back at the last 20 years of being saved and the last 10 years of ministry, I've often wondered, questioned, and yet if I look back, He has never failed me. He's always pitched. He's always built. He's always helped. He's always been enough. He's always helped us out of whatever it was that we needed or provided for us, whatever we needed. We can honestly, truthfully testify to that. But in that moment, I want that stillness and peacefulness of Jesus as well. So let's move on. Let's do a quick summary of the intro of last week. If you heard it last week, I do apologize. You're going to hear it again. If you missed it, now's your chance. So we said that Edna taught me about 18 or 20 years back. She taught me that fear is false evidence appearing real. So whenever, and it's not out of the word, so it's just a good way to remember this. So please don't quote Retief verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. But it's a good way just to break it down that when you get this eerie feeling, when you walk into a situation or you confront it with a certain personality or something that you sense fear, you need to stop and say, Lord, is this real or not? The evidence that I'm seeing, and I said last week, when I open up my bank account, is this evidence false or is it faith? It depends. But so we grow. Because ultimately we all live on evidence. You are sitting here in this beautiful, warm, toasty church building because of some evidence in your inner man. It's either faith or fear. Like, ooh, what if Retief ask me where I was? Or, I really want to grow in the Lord. I want to be Christ-like and I know I need this. I need to be there. And so everything we do is based on evidence. You need to decipher. You need to discern on what evidence am I building my life? What is the evidence of my life? And what is the evidence that drives my heart? And sometimes it's a bit of a mixture. So I read this week, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Who's ever feared something and then when you realize and get a revelation, you realize, but that was a lie all along. Anybody like that? It's a beautiful moment, right? You're like, hallelujah. But still, you had to go through that battle. Now, the good side of the coin is that Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And so we said to one another, and we want to make this very crystal clear in this season, that we are a people of evidence, but we need to decipher and discern, is it faith-based or is it false and fear-based? Is it false or fear-based? Who saw this week that there might be evidence that you're following in your life that is fear-based? Anybody? Anything? I definitely had. That's why I've got accountability, so I can share with somebody, hey man, just test this. The enemy comes with weird lies sometimes, whispering a lie, and then you need to decide. Lord, is this of you? And the beautiful thing is you go to Scripture, and then you're also accountable. You say to somebody, you just bring it into the light. This is the, who's ever had a weird thing whispered to them by the enemy? Anybody breathe? It's the way he's a deceiver, the father of lies. It's what he does. Again, we shift our focus to Jesus, but we allow the Lord to come and expose those things. And so we do it through Scripture and walking in the light and testing it. So we need to renew our mind. We don't have time for that Scriptures, but it's very clear that it's a spiritual battle. We need to think right, because we receive these spiritual influxes, we receive these whispering voices, and then we need to aggressively, as Edna say, take them down, cast them down, and bring them unto obedience to Jesus. Who's Jesus? The Logos. You're like, is this thought about sickness biblical? No, it's not of God. Is this thought my father's voice of condemnation and accusation and criticism? No, that is not how he speaks. And so you know how to test these things. Does it make sense? So we live on the right evidence. Let's move on, because we broke open this, and I just want to land the Scripture as we move along. We said one of the key things that we have as in our battle against fear is a promise in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Point blank. He has never given fear to you. We sometimes erroneously, maybe as parents, manipulate situations by fear-mongering, but we shouldn't. Don't tell your kids the police gaan jou kom haal. It's maybe not the best principle, all right? If you've done so, please repent. The poor police, how do they feel? And when they do come and fetch your child someday for a good reason, then they're totally confused. My ma jou gebel. But here's the thing. We don't use fear because God does not use fear. And I've messed that up. And I have repented. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So the good way to test if there's fear in my life, are you living the powerful gospel out in your life? Are you living and loving well? And do you have a sound mind? Or are you conflicted and double-minded the whole time? You're struggling to make up what is right, what is wrong, and you're confused the whole time. It's maybe a good indication that fear has got a hold of your heart. Does that make sense? It sounds hard, but I've seen that. But then we say, Lord, you did not give the Spirit to me. You gave me what? And let's go on to the next thing, because we want to be a fear-conquering people. In humility, a fear-conquering people. So if we read that Scripture, you can go to the next slide. Thanks, Juan. No, the previous one. There we go. Thank you. If we read that Scripture, as we move on to the next one today, we can read it as following, and I put that in brackets for a reason. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we know that. But He has given to us not only power and love and a sound mind, but He's given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And it's important just to notice that. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but again, the source of power, love and a sound mind is, again, the Spirit that He has given us being the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? It's just, I put that in, but it's just better that we can read the flow and understand it. So I believe that the antidote for fear is the grace of giving His Holy Spirit to us. Who of you has the Holy Spirit in their lives? In their heart. Great. So you have the destructive power of God to constantly root out fear in you. So whenever that bill comes up, or whenever the bank balance throws you, or whenever a lie of sickness, or I hate it when one of our children have some symptoms and you think, oh, is this sickness? Is it not? Those moments, the Holy Spirit is there to help. The Holy Spirit is there to help and minister to you. So let's move on, because I believe there's two more things that the Lord is going to give us today just to be a people to conquer fear. And the second one, you know, it's Romans 8 verse 15. Let's read it together and make it our own, just as we did with 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading you to fear again, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, which we by which we cry out, Abba Father. You know this scripture. We've read over it countless times, and in fact, it's one of my favorite. But again, it is a weapon. Do you believe that? I want to ask that, do you believe that? Because guess what? In the spiritual realm, you get questioned on that daily. Am I a slave? Do I have a spirit of slavery to fear again and be in bondage? We've just ministered to each other in that from Numbers 33, verse 3. Or do I have the spirit of sonship by whom I cried, Abba, Father? I've got a dad. I've got covering. I've got somebody having my back. I've got somebody, he's got the bills. He's dealing with the sickness. Oh man, he's rooting out relational fears and trauma. He's healing my heart. Where my dad wasn't, there he is. Where my mom couldn't reach, there he is. And so he's just constantly, through his spirit, bringing healing and restoration. Because that is who he is. But we need to make up our minds. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. That's funny. I only saw that after all my prep, as I was just closing the book, saying, I hope God is ready for today. I read that. You did not receive a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. In other words, for what it sounds to me is that you can fall back into that old patterns again. You can fall back into a slavery mindset again. Or you can know that you've been saved, know that you've been given the spirit, but you can fall back into slavery to fear again. Has anybody ever done that? So there's an area of your life you've got freedom. And yet, a year or two later, you're like, oh, gata patata, here to help. Here's the thing, is that constant relationship with the Lord, keeping that flame ablaze in our hearts, to not fall back into old, where's the battle? Albert, your famous line, where's the battle? The battlefield is the mind. Yes, I love it. As I was prepping, I was just hearing Albert's voice. He always says that, but it's so true. But we can fall back into slavery here, if we allow the demonic forces in our culture to whisper stuff to us again. So this is important to know, that I'm a son of God and I'm not a slave. And let's just quickly break down one or two things. We see a second thing, as we saw in 2 Timothy, we see here again, it is a spiritual battle. Speaks of the spirit of slavery again to fear. Weird, hey? We would think emotion, it's just a pure emotion. But again, it's something offered to us, I believe, firstly and foremostly, demonically. And so it becomes part of our lives. And then, yes, the emotions do follow. But firstly, we see it is the spirit of slavery to fear again. But we have been, and I've said that, given the anti-fear spirit, the Holy Spirit in our lives. But let's move on, because I want to get to the next point. I believe this is so important. Who wants to conquer fear in their life? Go to the next slide. I believe identity is key in conquering fear. From Romans 8 verse 15, saying you can either be a slave or a son. You can either have the spirit of slavery again to fear, or sonship by whom we cry, help, Papa! And he will help. I want to put before you that I believe that in conquering fear, we need to know who we are. Can we say that from Scripture? We need to know who we are. Sons and daughters are called to be free from fear. Jesus, again, is our example. Did he fear man? Not at all. Did he fear lack or poverty? Not at all. Did he fear temptation? By the looks of things with the Samaritan woman? Not at all. Did he fear the public opinion? Did he, in fact, fear the opinions of his disciples? Not at all. He was the perfect son. Gave us the perfect example of what it looks like to be free of fear. Slaves fear, sons have faith. And I want to put it this way, and I hope you agree. Bondage to fear is actually just an identity crisis. Bondage to fear, and one should obviously elaborate on that a bit, but we don't have time. But bondage to fear is just you don't have a revelation of God and who you are in Him yet. Can we say that to one another? So my dad and mom broke up when I was young, and we moved out, and so rejection came in, and I thought, well, my dad doesn't want me, etc., whatever the lies the enemy had given me. So I became enslaved to that emotional hurt and trauma, And hence the filter, the glasses through which I saw everything in every relationship, even a friendship with a guy next door or whatever the case, all of those things were seen through these lenses. What were these lenses of fear? It is slavery. I did not know that I'm accepted by my Heavenly Father, that He is always close, that He did not turn His back on me. He did not walk out on us. By the way, I honor my earthly dad. It's just a very good example. And so you see how that bondage of fear and slavery can creep into one's heart, and then it can steal from all the relationships that you have around you unless the revelation of sonship comes into your life. Does that make sense? This is why I would say that the bondage of fear actually in my life was just a mere identity crisis, because I didn't know who I am. We go into Galatians because I believe Galatians actually echoes Romans 8:15. It says, when the time came to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So you see that echo. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So if you want to conquer fear, you need to conquer slavery. If you want to conquer slavery, you just actually need to be who you are. You don't have to fight that. Just meditate on Scripture. Meditate on the reality. Be intimate with the Lord. Stick close to Him, that He meditate that on you. And then those things that you are fearful of will fall off. Does that make sense, guys? Because slavery is to fear. Sons are supposed to live free. And then further on in Galatians, you go read Galatians 4. It's beautiful how they unpack this along with Romans 8. And furthermore, they then refer to the Abram's son, Isaac and Ishmael. You know the story. I can't go through all the detail now. So he had his wife. What was her name? Yes. And what was her slothin? Hagar. So the word speaks of the two covenants. Which one was the one of the promise? Sarah and what son? Do you guys know this? Woo! Blow, blow, blow. But the two covenants very simply refers to the one that was born of the promise. God said, you will have a son. It took many years. And through Sarah, they had a son. But just before he had the son with Sarah, his wife, they had this beautiful fleshly idea, the carnal way of doing things, the slave way of doing things. Well, maybe you should sleep with my slave. And they had Ishmael. So the one is the work of the flesh. That's very simple. One is the work of God's promise and faith. One is born into slavery, which today shows to us the slavery mentality. And one is the one of promise, where God says, I will do it in you through my Spirit. One refers to the law and the old covenant. The one says, no, this is the new covenant I give you, that I help you, and it's by my grace and my promise. And so if we bring this all down, it is so important, because all of us have that battle firstly in us. You need to fight these two. Am I going to have the baby on my own? Am I going to do it on my own? Or am I going to wait on God and not fear, know that I'm a son and daughter, and He will bring the promise to fruition supernaturally? Which one should we choose? Which one should we be? Let's quickly see. Galatians 4:28 says, now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise, but just as the child born according to the flesh persecuted the one born according to the Spirit, so also now. So you see, there's a persecution. There's a fight between, no, I want to do it in the flesh. I want to do it as a slave. I'm going to do it my way versus I'm going to surrender. I'm a son. My Spirit cries, I'm a father. I do things by faith and I wait upon Him and Him, His promises. Who's ever had that dual fight in their hearts? Who's breathing? Who's a Christian? We all have had that. And as you grow and mature, hopefully it becomes less, and the one born of the flesh, or those ones born of the flesh, becomes more, less and less, and the fear becomes less and less, and yes, those that we surrender becomes more and more. And then it says, but what does the Scripture say? Drive out the slave and his son, for the son of the slave will never be a co-heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. And so if we just bring it down and we make it our own in this context of what we're chatting about today, is let's deal with the things of the flesh, with the slave mentality and fear in our life. Drive it out. because we can't have this dual thing in our hearts. We're going to get confused. We're going to not be powerful. We're going to struggle to love. And we're going to struggle to have a sound mind. And so the Lord says, come. And I saw that just in the way in which the Lord took us through Mama's Bay. I had to let go of the carnal things. I need to go of the slave mentality. I have to. And I will, and I need to, and I must make it work, to surrendering and saying, Lord, this can all go really pair to, you're my dad. I trust you. I trust your promises, and I have faith in you. So Lord, need to help us to conquer that. The thing is, that fight is not only in us. Unfortunately, that fight can be, if you go out and you've got family or in-laws or whatever, and you're walking by faith, you're a son of promise. You're a son and daughter of faith. You live by faith. You live by the Spirit, and you come to them. They actually are enslaved. They are in fear and in bondage. What happens in a conversation over a braai? Poof! Persecution. Who loves persecution? Who's ever been persecuted for their faith by people that have no faith? Anybody? Again, are we breathing? We should be in a space where we get persecuted. Because the Word says that the one born of fear, the one born of the flesh, will constantly persecute the one of promise. And so, you should rejoice. You should rejoice if you get persecuted, because ultimately, we need to live as sons and daughters. So what do we see just in a nutshell? What do we see here? We see we have the promise that we are sons of faith. We live free and different. Do you live free and different? Anybody? Do you live free and different? Gordon, do you live free and different? Sometimes it's different. We all sometimes just live different. But here's the thing. It's there for us in Christ. It's not easy, but it's beautiful. As we lose our lives, as we lose the carnal ways, as we say no and chase out the daughter of the carnality and the fear and the slavery, we embrace a life of sonship, of freedom. And then we do live free and different. Sometimes I live there. Sometimes I struggle. But I want to permanently live there in freedom. We need to drive out the one which is carnal and fearful. We said that. And then the last one, sons of the flesh and fear will always persecute the sons of promise and faith. So please know, if you step out in faith, if you follow Jesus, if you lay down your life, if you follow Scripture these days, there will be a bit of headwind. Are we okay with headwind in conquering fear? Or do we succumb to fear? Have you ever told somebody a great testimony and then their fear just starts speaking to you? Anybody like that? So you tell them of this vision God has given you and their fear starts ministry. It's not them. It's not their heart. It's not who they are. But you need to then discern and realize, well, that is the son of the slave woman speaking there. That is not the counsel that I need to receive. Love on the people, but you don't love on that spirit. Please do not. So that's the second thing I believe that the Lord has given us. Third one we're going to skip. It is just very clear that the Holy Spirit will help us through Romans 8:15, because this is the last part I want to get to. So we've been given a couple of things as we fight fear. Firstly, we can't. We say, Lord, help. Secondly, we know that He loves it out of us, but we go to Scripture and we see what is the promises there. The promises is firstly, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, you did not receive a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Yes? And then secondly, today we said we've got Romans 8:15. For please do not fall back into slavery again to fear. Because you don't have that identity. In fact, you fought that thing in you. You've chased it out. Now stay here. Because you've been given the spirit of sonship by whom you cry, Abba, Father, and you're supposed to live free. That is where we are. And then the last thing that I believe is essential to live free of fear is to be a praying Christian. A praying Christian. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Here's the thing. You can go to the next slide, John. We fear if we do not pray. My beer throw will go. I can't do it, but it's brilliant. She has these moments and it's. That's very simple, guys. We fear if we stop praying. We fear less if we pray more. Talk to him and the devil will talk to you less. believe what he says in prayer, and you believe the lies of the devil less. Believe what the one says who gives you the spirit of sonship, and you will listen to the slave and its spirit less. Landbou 101. It is very simple, but not always that easy to live. But we say, Lord, allow us. Lord, help us. We want to fear less. Help us to pray more. And again, not, oh, I dominate al weer gesê, ek moet preek, ach, ek moet preek, ek moet bid nie. No, it's not to have a false yoke. It's to say, Lord, I acknowledge this thing. But love, make me in love with talking to you so that these things can shift out of my life. And so, let's quickly look at, there's three things. First way in which we can do it is communion with God, intimacy with God. Jesus, Luke 5:16, he often withdrew to deserted places to pray. I've not come across somebody who actively, often, and prayerfully prays that are in bondage of fear. I said, yeah. I'll repeat that just now. But here's the thing. Jesus showed us that we need to often withdraw to pray and spend time with him. It is there, as we were worshiping together now, it is there where the Lord just helps through his presence, through his scriptures, through his truth, to just come and uproot any fear in our hearts. Yaku earlier today in prayer army sent that, and it's just a confirmation. We need to stay in prayer. You can go to the next one, please, John, as we run to the end. Prayerful people are not fearful people. It's what I said earlier, but just said differently. I've seen this with the people that I mix with, that I walk with, that I spend time with. Prayerful people are often not fearful people at all. Why is that? We can just scripturally make a real quick... What is the offloading? Deduction. Thank you. I needed somebody from Sanlam to help me with that. Thank you, Yule. A great deduction. But we can just quickly say, why are we less fearful when we spend time in prayer more? Because we hear his voice there. What does his voice give us if we hear it? It gives us faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Rhema word. If you don't pray, you're not going to hear what he says. So if I look at the bank statement, or I look at the invoice I need to pay, or I look at my health, or I look at my fitness, or whatever the thing is, look at Facebook, other people doing stuff. Whatever I look at, if I don't hear his opinion that stirs faith in me, I'm going to fall back into slavery and think as a slave again and have fear. But when I've been prayerful and I've been with him, I've made time and space. I said no to everything else. I'm here with you, King. Speak to me. He speaks about all those things. And I have peace because I have faith and I live as a son. Do you understand why identity is important? You understand why prayer is important? Because we ultimately, you can imagine there's people that have lived on this earth for 70, 80, 90 years in bondage of fear and never had a day of freedom. It was always slavery. They might have a bit of religion. I'm not judging. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm just saying they have lived in bondage of fear and never as sons and daughters of God. Imagine what a waste. That's not us. Second to third thing. The second thing is pray in the Spirit. I'm not going to read all of that, but you want to be free from fear? Pray in the Spirit. In the same way, the Spirit also joins us to help in our weaknesses. We are weak, guys, because we do not know what to pray for. We should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us, unspoken groanings. So you know by now that in 2012, the Lord said to me, and for the next 8 or 10 years after that, every day I had to pray an hour in tongues. Why? So that the Lord can sort me out. Did I know what He was doing? No. Did it help? Yes. How did it help? I don't know. He's the dad. I'm not. I'm the son. But if you want to deal with fear, pray in tongues. Go in communion, hear Him, go into the Word, have that, but also pray in tongues. If you can't, come to me, let's pray. It's there for everybody. Pray in tongues and make sure that your spirit man is strong. And the last thing is, pray according to Scripture. Dig into Scripture and pray it. If you want to conquer fear, you get hold of this. You pray it over your family. You pray it over your business. You pray it over your situation. You pray it over your health. You pray it over your relationships. If you're bleeding and hurting, you pray it over. then you become effective, because that's where the enemy cannot have a hold on you. If you have a prophecy, anybody have a prophecy over their life? You fear that you're going to miss that? It's easy. Go fight with that prophecy. Timothy, or Paul says to Timothy, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that you may wage a good warfare." Imagine a people full of faith and not full of fear, having been with the Lord, effectively praying, praying with their prophecies, praying with Scripture, spending that time with God, knowing that we are sons and daughters. Then, love, power, and a sound mind is easy. Then fruitfulness is easy. Then living on the other side of fear is easy. Will you keep me accountable that I will try to, by the grace of God, live this out? Will you? Cool. Can I then keep you accountable to make this your own, so that we will not be a people of fear? Amen? In humility and grace, can we call that out? Because fear is a spirit. It's not your friend. Fear does not protect you. Fear does not protect your children. Fear will not protect the generation to come. It will only kill the generation to come. Faith will protect the generations to come. Faith will protect our families. Faith will protect your business. Faith will protect this country and this church. Let's pray. Will you stand with me? Lord, I thank you for the grace of your word and your spirit. And thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't come around and say, "Get rid of the fear." You come lovingly as a good dad and say, "I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to love and squeeze that fear out of you. So I want to just give you my life and my family and say, Lord, please come and love on and squeeze the fear out of us." And where we need to be aggressive, as Edna said, let us be aggressive. But I pray that we will hang on to these scriptural promises that we've shared, and then we will get into the prayer closet and we will deal with you so that you will deal with fear. We will come to you and fall in love with you and hear what you say about every single situation, and we will not leave the prayer closet unless you've spoken. And if we've not heard, that we will go into tongues and we will make it our own, and we will make sure that we will rev up, or we will strengthen our spirit man, so that fear will no longer have a hold on us. Lord, that we will fight with the prayer promises that you've given us prophetically. And Lord, that we will be a people of faith, not only for us, but for the next generation. If that is your heart and you say amen to all of that, let's just say amen. Amen.